We've made it all the way to this day. This is the day that we've been waiting for to celebrate the Lord's coming, where he comes to be with us. And on this crisp morning, it is good to be here with you today. And we thank you for any visitors that are with us that have traveled a ways to be with us. We pray that as you draw near to Christ, that he would open your heart to receive him in a way that you have not received him since his coming. Lord, we thank you for being with us this morning, and we're going to go right into our worship by standing and singing Angels We Have Heard on High. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light.
Those who dwell in the land of darkness,
make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Make a joyful noise to the name of the Lord.
As we go to our Lord in confession, I invite you to kneel or remain standing as you desire. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. We confess our unrighteousness. We plead for his mercy. Most merciful God, we confess to you our sins, our most grievous sins, that we have committed against you. It is for them that the joy of Christmas will give way to the agony of the cross. We are sorry for them. We repent of them. We plead for your mercy. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. We pray responsibly. Almighty God, grant that the birth of your only begotten Son in the flesh may set us free from the bondage of sin. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated.
The Old Testament lesson is a responsive reading from Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 to 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice, together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. Alleluia. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated.
Maybe it's the sounds of the season, you know, the music and the laughter, the choirs a caroling, the children grinning and giggling as they open their presents. You mention the word Christmas to most children, and the vision that comes to their mind is a jolly old man in a red suit who delivers toys with a herd of flying reindeer. And you mention Christmas to adults, and we get several pictures. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas. Or others think of Salvation Army's Santas, or Christmas trees decked with beautiful lights and ornaments. And to some, Christmas just conjures up parties with maybe a little bit too much to eat or drink. Some love the smells of the season. You know, the evergreen, the peppermint, and the popcorn. Then there are the fresh baked pies and Christmas dinner. For me, I think it's always been the sights of the season. I love to see lights. I'm really anticipating some discounts this year on the elf lights. You've seen those on TV. It's the big floodlight that you just put in the front of your yard and then on your house, and if your neighbors are close enough, on their homes too. All of these dancing lights floating all over. We have one near us, and I just love to drive by it and laugh. All of the street lights in people's yards. I love to see the downtown all lit up and decorated. Lights in front of churches like we had and in parks. Well, on that first Christmas day 2,000 years ago, there were some definite spectacular sights. I wonder what I would have seen and heard that night. I wonder, do you see what I see? Would you see and hear the choirs of angels singing? Or would you simply hear the sounds of the animals in the barnyards just shifting around? Would you have seen the star that night? Or simply two poor, frightened new parents? Certainly there were very few people who saw and heard and understood what took place that night. The choirs of angels were singing, but it was drowned out by the haggling and the trading going on in the Jerusalem bazaar. There was a bright star in the sky, but the only ones apparently paying attention to it were the astrologers from the east. And if anyone did see Mary and Joseph on that most faithful night, they were too preoccupied with their own problems to offer any assistance to just another young, poor couple. I wonder, do you see what I see? You see, you tell me that if you had been there in Bethlehem that night, then you would have seen and understood. Would you? What did you see this Christmas season? Did you see any chaos and strife? Did you see sheep without a shepherd? When you went shopping, did you see just hordes of people in the stores? Did you see their worried expressions? Did you see their faces? So many worried because they face Christmas without a loved one, or they don't know how they're going to make the ends meet. Do you see what I see? Would you have seen the star, the Magi? The wise men following the star show up at Herod's doorstep, and they say, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east. We want to worship him." And Herod is so troubled, and instead of rejoicing, he becomes petrified of the possibility that someone would take away his position as king. So Herod plans to destroy Jesus any way he could. And before we too quickly judge Herod, what about our own actions? Do we sometimes ignore the Savior? Is there any greed or hate or envy in this house this morning? Do you see what I see? Wise men from the east, they saw it. But from the beginning of time, the devil has tried to destroy the plan of God's redemption. He has tried to prevent Jesus from coming. He tried to nullify his power by tempting him in the wilderness. He tried to mess him up in the Garden of Gethsemane. And even at the cross, the devil tried to stop Jesus from finishing his mission. But he could not stop the plan of God. Jesus redeemed us. He did fulfill the plan of salvation. Do you see what I see? Let me illustrate. It wasn't much of a place, but it was his. It had been his father's before him and his father's and so on. There weren't many places like it anymore. It wasn't much, just a small town down the road. But it was the home of King David. In fact, they said this very inn was built on land that belonged to David's family. Some said it was the exact spot of the house where David was born. Imagine that. A king born right here. That made the town special, but not very big. He thought about that day of all days. People were streaming into town from everywhere. He had never seen so many people in his town. Where did they all come from? Business was good, almost too good at his place. All of his rooms were taken. People were even camping out in his courtyard. And as he moved around in the crowd, he watched and he listened. He was a bit nervous about some of the things he was seeing and hearing. There was a great deal of anger and hostility in this bunch of weary travelers. The orders had come down from Rome, and they were bitterly opposed, but grudgingly obeyed. The census was Caesar's way of keeping Roman authority over the Jews. No one liked it. But what could they do? The penalty for rebellion was swift and certain, so they all came. It was more than inconvenient. It was galling to a proud people who were united in their common hatred of everything that was foreign. And those born in the house of David, well, they had to report to the home of David, to this little town whose name meant the house of bread. Well, this innkeeper thought to himself, if any more people show up, there's just not going to be any more bread. And the mood of the travelers began to change. There was an almost festive atmosphere now. He breathed a sigh of relief. He turned to the gate of the inn. There were still more people coming. Only a few more, and he would have to begin turning them away. There was little room now, and some people were beginning to complain. Night was falling over the little town of Bethlehem. He glanced into the distant hills. Do you see what I see? The glow of the cooking fires out there in the hills meant the shepherds of the temple flocks were settling down for the evening. The innkeeper laughed to himself about the irony of it all. Those dirty, profane shepherds tending animals that were to be used for the sacrifice in the holy place of the temple. What a contrast. Lowly shepherds and unblemished lambs. These shepherds would not be allowed into the temple grounds to see they're perfect animals used in the rituals. They weren't good enough, but their animals were. Oh, well, he said, whoever claimed life was fair. So he looked to the gate, and the innkeeper notices more travelers. He'd already sent some away. His inn was simply too crowded to accept any more lodgers. Opening the gate, he saw the two of them standing there. They're sagging against a donkey that's tied to the post. The three of them had the same look about them. Man, woman, and beast were utterly exhausted. In the dim light, it was hard to distinguish their features. But the bulge of her robe, it was obvious that this woman was very pregnant. He stepped outside the gate. He held his lantern really high. There was a concern etched on his face. He glanced at the woman. She's so young. The man spoke first. "Please, sir, we've traveled a great distance. Could you please provide something for us for tonight?" The others, he had turned away in the last hour or so, needed lodging also. But somehow these two were different. It was more than the fact that the woman was evidently near her time. There was a fear, there was almost panic in the eyes of the man that she had taken as her husband. The man spoke first, "I must find shelter for her quickly." And glancing over his shoulder, the innkeeper spoke to himself, "Couldn't I just find a corner somewhere, make a place for them?" He shook his head. "No, there's no room, there's no place." Almost staggering, the man moved back to the woman. He tenderly placed his arm around her. "I wonder this morning, do you see what I see? Do you see this young couple fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah? Do you see everything lining up in Scripture that was foretold at the fall of Adam and Eve? Do you see the heavenly choir performing in the largest open air theater ever? Do you see the angels bowed in worship? Do you see God's plan of redemption just wrapped in flesh? Do you see the Old Testament giving way to the New? Do you see John the Baptist no longer in the womb, but now leaping in the cradle? I see a cradle. I see the crown. I see the cross. And I see an empty tomb. What do you see this Christmas morning?" Amen. I invite you to rise as together we speak of our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Friends, you may be seated as we go to our Lord in prayer, praying for all God's people and for all people according to their needs. Let us pray for the church, that it may be as humble, as relevant, and as mighty as the Lord who was born of Mary. And let us pray for the world in all its splendor and need, in all its grief and its glory, that it may look to God for help. And let us pray that as God stirred the wise men to follow their star and find the Christ, so may we and all humankind be stirred to seek for the truth and to find the Savior. And as God opened up the heavens and summoned the shepherds, let us pray that we all, men everywhere, might look for God's word, and at its coming rise and go where God shall direct. And as God prepared Mary to be the mother of Jesus, let us ask God to prepare our hearts and the hearts of all people to receive the Lord of glory, that in their glad and solemn season, each heart might be a manger and each home a Bethlehem. And finally, as God has promised to be with us always, wherever we go and whatever we do, we ask that he be with those who are ill, including Art and Audrey, baby Raylan, for Betsy, Dale, Diane, Don, Evelyn, John, Katie, Kyria, Marie, Phyllis, Ray, and Roy. And we also pray for Vernette and Walter, for Will and Vernette, and for all who celebrate this Christmas with some sadness because of the death of family or friends. We especially pray for the family of P. Richard Pearson. And also we pray for Yolanda and Herb Hansen on the death of their nephew. Comfort these your servants, Lord, that the joy of this day not be lost, but be overcome by your healing presence. In the name of the baby Jesus, we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. We'll continue our worship by the gathering of our offerings and our tithes for the mission and ministry of Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School. Please stand. with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whose birth as Savior and divine King you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Amen. You may be seated. Please rise. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, that you have refreshed us through this sacrament. And we pray that we shall ever put our hope in Jesus, your Son and our King. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Almighty and merciful Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you now and forevermore. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.